Tom Poberesny could be joining the board at Garmin. DOT refuses to exempt airlines from the tarmac stranding rule. And IAM members have a new contract with Hawaiian Airlines. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 23rd, 2010. Experimental Aircraft Association Chairman and President Tom Poberesny confirms he's on an upcoming ballot to become a director of Garmin Limited. The election will be held May 20th at a shareholders meeting, which will also feature a vote on moving the company's base from the Cayman Islands to Switzerland. There have already been some rumblings in the avionics industry about the new bedfellows, especially as pertains to AirVenture. But Poberesny spoke with us late yesterday and insists his staff will be briefed on maintaining the proper distance between EAA's interests and Garmin's. For more details, including Tom's likely compensation in the new gig, see the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The U.S. Department of Transportation has denied the requests of five airlines for exemption from the new rule limiting tarmac strandings. As a result, all U.S. carrier flights covered by the rule will be subject to its terms effective this coming Thursday, April 29th. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "Passengers on flights delayed on the tarmac have a right to know they will not be held aboard a plane indefinitely. This is an important consumer protection, and we believe it should take effect as planned," unquote. JetBlue, Delta, and American had all asked for the okay to strand passengers on grounded planes for more than 3 hours at New York JFK, based on runway construction. Continental had asked for exemptions at LaGuardia and Newark, and U.S. Airways wanted a pass at Philadelphia. DOT has previously commented that the airlines have had plenty of time to alter their plans to avoid stranding passengers for long periods, and LaHood says the agency has the latitude to take construction issues into consideration when deciding whether to take enforcement action and what fines to levy. The rule provides for fines of up to $27,500 per passenger if tarmac strandings pass the three-hour mark. The airlines have warned their only recourse will be to cancel flights which face delays. Hawaiian Airlines and the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers District 142 say union members have approved a new four-year contract negotiated last month. The deal increases compensation for 600 of Hawaiian's employees working as aircraft inspectors, mechanics, line service, cleaners, and contract service personnel, with the terms also resulting in operational improvements for the company. Hawaiian has now secured new contracts with all its unionized labor groups, having previously reached agreements with its pilots, flight attendants, clerical workers, and dispatchers. Hawaiian is in its 81st year of continuous service for Hawaii. Up next on ANN, the FAA proposes adding requirements and costs to VLJ certification programs. The EPA has signaled the end of leaded aviation fuel, and Boeing enters the final stretch toward a Dreamliner TC. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. How many times in the last couple of years have you heard someone remark that today's general aviation aircraft have technology beyond what airliners did just a few years ago? That observation is not lost on the FAA. In a notice of proposed rulemaking, the agency is seeking to revise the applicability for function and reliability flight testing to include all turbine-powered airplanes weighing 6,000 pounds or less. The FAA says advancements in technology have invalidated the reasons for excluding small airplanes, and that the proposed revision would improve aviation safety for the category. FNR, or function and reliability flight testing, simulates typical in-service flight operations for a new aircraft design before final design and the issuance of a type certificate. FAR 21.35B2 gives the FAA and the public a reasonable assurance that an aircraft, its components, and its equipment are reliable and function properly. The FAA says the decision was based in part by a review which included 7 separate issues which arose with the Eclipse 500, including the much-reported problem with software fed by throttle position sensors. It estimates that compliance with its proposed change would cost developers about $317,000 for a 165-hour test program, or $634,000 for a 330-hour program. Comments are due on or before July 8th. Get more details, including a direct link to the NPRM, in the text version of this story, dated April 22nd, at aero-news.net. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has started the wheels turning on a process that happened in the automotive marketplace 40 years ago, the end of leaded gasoline. An advanced notice of proposed rulemaking recognizes the complexity of doing away with tetraethyl octane enhancement, since there's nothing out there right now which can replace it for the entire fleet, creating what the EPA admits are both technical and logistical challenges. The EPA says it will remain engaged with stakeholders, aka the alphabet groups, as the process moves forward. In February, the FAA gave Boeing initial type inspection authorization to allow the conduct of flutter testing on the 787 Dreamliner. Now, that TIA has been expanded to allow full participation by company personnel in the remaining data collection required for certification. Boeing VP and 787 Program Chief Scott Fancher says the company has also finalized the aerodynamic configuration. Quote, "We have completed sufficient testing to decide that no additional changes to the external lines or shape of the airplane are required. Having an airplane match its expected performance with so few changes is rare and speaks to the maturity of the design." Unquote. The clock is ticking on Boeing's latest prediction of a first customer delivery late this year. Still ahead, Boeing says only its new-gen tanker will meet the Air Force's needs. Kinetic is honored for its ion drive system. And Earth Day is celebrated with a flight of the Green Hornet. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. Boeing has issued a response to the announced entry of EADS into the U.S. Air Force's KCX aerial tanker bidding, and it touches on familiar talking points, but starts by commenting on the bid deadline extension granted by the Pentagon to accommodate EADS. Quote, "While we are disappointed in the bid submission delay, we hope for a fair and transparent competition, free of any additional changes intended to accommodate a non-U.S. prime contractor. We also remain deeply concerned about the ability of a heavily subsidized Airbus EADS to accept levels of financial risk that a commercial company such as Boeing cannot. We regret that these concerns will not be addressed in the bid evaluation, even when the U.S. government has proven in a world court that those subsidies are illegal and directly distort competition between Airbus and Boeing." Unquote. Boeing says its new-gen tanker will meet, and is the only proposal that will meet, all 372 requirements set forth by the Air Force in its search for a medium-sized tanker to replace the aging KC-135. Science fiction authors have known for decades that ion propulsion was theoretically possible, and it's been a staple of their fictional spacecraft just as long. Now, Kinetic's ion propulsion team has won the Arthur C. Clarke Award for creating a practical ion drive system. The European Space Agency's Gravity Field and Steady State Ocean Circulation Explorer spacecraft became the first to launch with Kinetic's T5 ion thrusters. Kinetic began work last year on advanced T6 thrusters for ESA's future BepiColombo Colombo mission to Mercury. The team's chief engineer, Neil Wallace, reacted to the award. Quote, "We knew about the nomination, but winning the award came as a complete surprise to all of us. It was a great team effort and reflects the hard work of many individuals for almost 20 years. Unquote. Kinetic says electric propulsion will make engines which are lighter and allow increased payloads, and claims an efficiency improvement of 10 times over chemical rockets. And finally today, the U.S. Navy kept its promise and celebrated Earth Day yesterday with a test flight of the Green Hornet, an F-A-18 Super Hornet fueled by a blend of 50% petroleum-based fuel and 50% camelina-based biofuel. The test reportedly drew hundreds of onlookers at Naval Air Station Patuxent River, Maryland. Among them was Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus, who has made the exploration and adoption of alternative fuels a priority for the Navy and Marine Corps. After the flight, Mabus met the pilot, then commented, quote, "It's important to emphasize, especially on Earth Day, the Navy's commitment to reducing dependence on foreign oil, as well as safeguarding our environment. Our Navy, alongside industry, the other services, and federal agency partners, will continue to be an early adopter of alternative energy sources," unquote. Once the Green Hornet has fully sorted out the new fuel, including supersonic flights, development will expand to other aircraft and tactical systems. In a related note, the U.S. Air Force recently conducted testing of camelina-based biofuel in the A-10 Thunderbolt II. I had occasion to need to look that story up in the ANN archives recently and found it using the keywords camelina Thunderbolt. ANN News editor Tom Patton commented, "What a great name for a stripper." That's the latest from Aero News. Yeah, he's already working on the backstory. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the third and final part of Randy Babbitt's address at AEA 2010, featuring Q&A with the audience. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.